Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network. Visit jabberjawmedia.com for more shows like this one.
Today's show is sponsored by Quip. The Quip electric toothbrush has been named one of Time Magazine's best inventions of the year. See what it's all about and get your first refill pack for free when you head over to quip.com/badchristian.
Today's show is also sponsored by stamps.com. Postage rates have gone up again, but you can keep your rates down with discounts from stamps.com. Just click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and enter the code BADCHRISTIAN for your free 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale.
You are now entering the Bad Christian Podcast.
The devil's mad.
The devil's mad.
And I am glad.
And I am glad.
The devil's mad.
The devil's mad.
And I am glad.
And he is glad.
The devil's mad and I am glad. He lost one soul that he thought he had. All of my sins are washed away. It's the Bad Christian Podcast.
Okay, woo. Welcome to the show. How
tell
you guys
me God
doing?
Ain't real. Try to tell me God ain't real.
Let me
somebody listening right now, wherever you are in the universe, you try to tell me my God ain't real.
Two dozen people hit stop, unsubscribe.
No, they didn't. They just hit the fast forward 30-second buttons. All you got to do to get rid of that crap.
Those dirty damn atheists probably hung up because they can't handle the truth.
Let me get this in up top that we got Matt and Toby shows coming up. We always forget to mention that or to the end.
Oh, but yes, we
Toby
do.
And I will be going on tour. We'll be doing similar music as to you just heard there with the beatbox. That's most of the show.
Yep.
But we're going to be on tour with the classic crime. We're going all the way through Texas. We're going through California, all the way up to Seattle. And that's coming up in about a week and a half, 2 weeks. So check theclassiccrime.com. We also have
Motherfolk.
Yep, and Motherfolk will be on that too. And you can meet Toby. Now, we have a VIP thing where you can come hang out on our bus if you want to do
that.
Right. But classiccrime.com for tickets. We'll see y'all soon. Toby, Joey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I got a few things. Joey always has the popcorns, the things that are going on in his life. I got a few myself, folks.
Let's hear them.
Is that okay? Can I do the popcorns this time, Joey?
I don't have any problem with it, long as it's Gordon Redenbacher.
God, how is this with food with you, right? It always starts with food, and at any moment it'll turn to some very bad synthesis.
I can't do my fake laugh today because I'll wheeze and cough and all that stuff.
I'm looking forward to hearing
man,
that
really
happen involuntarily. What you got, Toby?
I feel so bad for you. All right, one... it is getting worse. I don't have social anxiety, I don't think, but it is getting worse. I had to get new tires on our car, and so I'm just walking through Costco. I got them at Costco, so, you know, I was just walking around Costco for about an hour. And sure enough, I come around the corner, and I see our old friend who lives in Franklin, Jared Wilson, the pastor, right, with his family. And in an instant, my brain does this. Moves my phone up to my face. I turn the other way and fake talking on a phone call and walk away so I don't have to talk to him in person.
And he didn't see you?
He did not. I don't think so. I mean, I had a hat on and a coat, you know, so I just kind of hunched over, walked
And you
away.
Like the guy. You like
and I
the
like
guy.
Him. I mean, he's a nice guy. It would have been a nice, fun conversation, but I was just like, I just can't right now. I don't know why I couldn't. I could not bring myself to talk to him, and I was thinking... I think Joey would do something like that. Matt, I don't know if you would ever think that. I think you would walk right up to the person and say, hey, right?
Of course I would.
For me, it's weird. I don't know what kind of mood I'm in until I'm confronted with it. Like, I could have seen myself in that situation be like, oh, man, this is really cool. I'll talk to him for 4 or 5 minutes. But I totally could see myself doing the exact same thing as well. I mean, I do it all the time.
I think I'm exact. I totally know what you're saying.
Dude, do you know how many times I have faked cell phone conversations with headphones
in? Oh my God,
I mean, it's like a regular thing.
I do it most times I walk out my house and there's anybody in the neighboring yards. I do a wave and I keep moving. I don't know where it comes from. Like, it's not a, I can't say it's a fear. It's just I have to avoid this.
Yeah, but yeah. So to me, the way I handle that situation is, I think, like I advise everybody to, because what we don't like is small talk, and everybody doesn't. I admit it, and other people don't. You don't want to sit there and exchange, how you been, man? Good, man. You're not looking forward to doing that. It's not going to be a meaningful exchange. So the way to handle that situation is to think of something direct and meaningful to engage with right off the bat, and then keep it nice and tight, and the other person will appreciate it too. So when you see somebody you know, or you know you're going to see somebody, think one step past the small talk. Come up with something, a joke. Being charming and making jokes is a really good way to do it. You know, tease them or make fun of yourself or tell them what you're at Costco for, stuff like that. Go That's right up weird, and start talking though. About tires is what I would have done. And then I would have moved on when I was ready to move on. And if he had something interesting to say, I would have continued the conversation. And if not, I would have moved on and said, gotta get these tires.
Okay, but here's the problem with that. I knew I was going to be there for about an hour, and I was like, "Of course I'm going to run into him again. Then I have to go, well, yeah, or something. So I just, then I was prepared that I would just always stay far away, and I never, if I ran into him again and I couldn't get away, it would have been the first time. Well, so I was thinking ahead, and I tried it before. Like, I used to walk up to people, look them right in the eye, and shake their hand and say, how's your walk?
How's your walk?
Just got weird. People did not, it didn't work out the way I had hoped. So that one didn't work out. Okay, number two, popcorn. I did low carb for 4 days and quit and got real bad with carbs. I got real bad with carbs. Like, we did pizza. I was eating chips and all kinds of stuff. And I decided here's the problem. This is one thing I've learned about me and carbs. I love meat, but I think almost exclusively, I don't know why this is, Matt, I don't know if it, You eat mostly only meat.
Right.
Something about hamburger I can eat nonstop, hamburger, steak, or anything like that, but other meats like pork or chicken, I can't do as much. So I started out the week eating like frozen wings from Costco, which are kind of fatty, and kielbasa sausage, and then what was the other thing? Oh, and some pork that Jess made. And it just, after about 4 days, I was like, I can't eat any more of this. And we still had a lot left over because I was the only one eating it. And I was like, okay, today's a cheat day. And then the cheat day lasted into longer than I did.
How long does it take to get back into ketosis after a cheat day? Does it depend on how much you cheat?
It depends on a lot of stuff. But I mean, the more you do it and the more you're used to it, it seems to be at least easier going back and forth. And it depends, you know, there's different factors, but you should be back in a day or two, a couple of days, often, depending on the situation. But
I'm still eating probably lower calorie and mostly low carb. But like, you know, last night Jess made hamburger mac, and I
Toby, you're good at short term commitments. You just, I don't know if it's possible for you to make lifestyle changes.
Tell my wife about that.
And sometimes I'm scared for you because we're getting to be at an age to where massive heart attacks can happen.
But so, I understand that, but why would you live in fear? Like you want to be...
I don't want to lose my best friend.
I know, you are going to lose me.
You're
going to
lose everybody and everything you ever loved one day. So
don't
just
you
want to
remember
it.
Me like this? Not like a decently healthy 70-year-old? Oh, that's disgusting. Nobody really cares how healthy a 75-year-old person
at
is. They're like,
make
oh,
it
neat.
To, like, seriously, at least make
neat.
It to 55.
They're healthy,
55.
Kind of.
Make it to 55.
If I go out, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you live hard and have fun, if you lose 20 years, it ain't that big of a loss. if I can live the way I'm living till 55, that's pretty good. I think my kids will be in their
55,
20s.
That's gonna
they don't
come
need me
so
after that.
Fast. You know how fast 55 is going to come?
Also, very how about fast. This? Oh, my God. It's so fast. But listen to this, too. If I die before like 60, Jess gets all our life insurance. There so what good am I to her at 68?
Well, not to mention, Lunsford does a whole bit about it.
We haven't done planning.
If you die before 60, you'll get that, and we'll probably still be doing the podcast, and you will just get they will get an outrageous GoFundMe. Oh, I mean, it'll be great.
I know. I mean, if I died right now, I bet my GoFundMe would be pretty big.
Huge.
It would at least help Jess for a year or something like
that.
Don't
even worry about it.
I mean, she'd quit her jobs, take care of the kids, go to school, and, you know, she'd have money. It'd be all the way around way better.
Probably one of the GoFundMe things, if it was for you, you know, if it was like, maybe it's more of a Kickstarter kind of thing. There's different perks for the levels you give at. And one of them could be, you know, new husband. So maybe one of our fans that you already know and like could actually take your role in the family if they paid enough money and supported the crowdfund enough, we could probably get one of our good BC Club members or somebody that you actually know to go ahead and to be the kid's new dad.
$100 for a lock of hair.
If Jess would actually even date one of our male fans, I would divorce her now. She's that kind of woman. I'd divorce her in a second.
Good point.
For her to be like that, oh my God, I could never do that. All right, third thing. I got one last thing. We got car trouble. I was driving last night to go do stand-up comedy, and in my wheel well, I hear boom, 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 and I was like, oh God, what could it be? Hope it's not rack and pinion. I hope it's not the, you know, maybe it's something not too bad, wheelbarrow, whatever. And it's both. And so the guy calls me today, and we to get our van fixed is $1,700, and that's before fixing my catalytic converter, which I still haven't fixed, which is $800. So I was like, Jess, I really tried to weigh the
options. Yourself and get that money.
What I know, that's what I can't.
You don't get it.
I was standing on my roof. After he called, I was standing on my roof thinking of my options, and I decided to fix it. But I was trying to think, would the right answer have been to sell it and get something really cheap? Like the van, it doesn't have many. It has 130,000 miles, but that isn't too bad. And I was thinking we might could get a few thousand out of it without fixing it up. Maybe I just get a car that's 2,000 and maybe it'll last me. But then I was like, well, what if it has a problem? I just couldn't decide. So here I sit, $1,700 less in my pocket, and nothing's different about my car except for it just doesn't go boo, 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 boo anymore.
That's the worst.
So I know. You have to fix your cars. I understand that. But at the same time, it's just devastating because there isn't anything different. Like, I don't have nice tinted windows now. I don't have new rims. I don't have a killer sound system. There's literally, visually and aesthetically, nothing almost different besides it runs a little smoother now. But it ran smooth up until that point. So literally for one day, I paid $1,700.
Yep.
Well, it's a living nightmare, I guess. And y'all don't seem to care at all. I appreciate that. I mean, y'all don't give a shit. Y'all don't give a shit at all. Rich-ass pastor. nerd CEO type. Y'all don't give a shit about the low man on the totem. Y'all think y'all are up here real high and I'm down here.
Well, you know, it's just life, brother. It's just life. And let it give you some kingdom perspective.
God, why couldn't I be a pastor and someone give me a car?
let it give you some kingdom perspective.
If I was a pastor, I would have had 5 phone calls from different people trying to give me a car.
Exactly. Nice ones too.
Oh, real nice ones. So anyway.
Hold still. Look, I'm going to tell you about something special, and that is brushing your teeth. You have teeth, and I see your teeth, and I'm sure you take good care of them, but if you are not using a Quip toothbrush, you're not taking as good a care of them as you should. So when it comes to your health, brushing your teeth is really one of the most important parts of your day. Think about how often you're using their teeth. I mean, whoever worries about their kidney, it doesn't matter. You don't see it. Use your teeth constantly. They're important. Take care of them. Quip has combined dentistry and design to make a better electric toothbrush. The new electric toothbrush packs just the right amount of vibrations into a slimmer design at a fraction of the cost of bulkier traditional electric toothbrushes. I love mine. My mouth feels cleaner later in the day and longer, kind of like when you go to the dentist and get them to do the cleaning. That's kind of what it's like having a Quip toothbrush. It makes you have that type of feeling longer through the day. And because it's the thing that cleans your mouth, it should also be clean. Quip has this subscription plan, which is a great way to go because it refreshes your brush on a dentist-recommended schedule, delivering a new brush and heads every 3 months for just $5, including free shipping worldwide. So Quip starts at just $25, and if you go to getquip.com/badchristian right now, you'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/badchristian, spelled getquip.com/badchristian. So, today's a special day because everybody knows I built this wonderful table over Christmas break.
Yeah.
And today's the first day that I have somebody in studio, on video, live guest, to sit at the table with me, and we have Ellen Morrow. Ellen, thank you for joining us.
Hi, I'm really happy to be here with the table.
She noticed it when she came in, so that's why I was proud
of that. I like your collar.
Oh, thanks,
I like
Joey.
Your collar. Yeah,
thanks.
It's nice.
I like to always, you know, wear collars.
It looks sophisticated.
I make my toddler wear collars, too. She hates
nice,
it.
Nice.
So let me tell you about Ellen. I'll tell you about Ellen since you guys don't know each other. Ellen lives here in Seattle, and she is... Okay. Here's the interesting thing. She is now the co-host with Dan Koch on the Depolarized podcast.
Oh, sweet.
So they have season two coming out, and that's in a few weeks. Do you know the release date? Do we have that exactly?
March 21st.
Something like that. March 21st. There's a whole new season. I've heard a bunch of it. It's really good. Ellen's great on there, and Dan's doing some super good stuff. So we're looking forward to that. But we wanted to have Ellen on because her, let's see, her area of interest or her specialty. How do I say that?
I don't know. You know.
How do I say? Ellen
it's
is.
It's not like I'm a pro at.
Right. Ellen's specialty is abortion.
That's.
Wow. No, that's Dang. A good, funny way to say it. But Ellen is somebody who thinks a lot about the pro-choice and the pro-life movement. I've had her on Break It Down before and had really interesting conversation about it. So that is her area. It is an area of your interest, basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not expertise. I have not ever performed, nor have I had one.
Right. But how did you become somebody that's interested in this topic? Because, it's kind of crazy because, I mean, everybody has, I would say, an interest in it. Because out of all the political things that can be voted on or talked about politically across time, abortion is one I think is crazy because it remains focused on, cared about, debated with very little movement for decades. And it's always important to everybody all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, right. It's not the four other things come and go, but this one just, boom, it's abortion right. is always a contentious thing that can always be discussed and very little movement.
Yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's a moral issue and not a political issue. And so it sort of changes hands every few decades.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes a long time for a generation or two to really feel fiercely about it. And then by the time that they do, the culture shifts again, and then it kind of goes to the opposite side. Like, it's only been recently that this pro-life, I don't know, label, if you will, mm-hmm. has been a Republican thing.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I think it was 1995 was the last time that only 50% of Republicans were pro-life. And that's not that long ago. And, in the 70s, when Roe v. Wade was passed, it was definitely a split issue
mm-hmm.
because it's a moral issue.
It's a moral issue, yeah. So tell me what you think of as a difference in a moral issue and a political issue. Like it's frustrating to me these days.
Morality
how much.
Should have no political restraints and no legal restraints. So we know that there are some countries where it's legal for you to stone a person to death if they're gay,
mm-hmm.
right? We know that that's an immoral thing to do. That's not right, right?
Mm-hmm.
But because it's legal there, right. some would fight for their right to do that. So a legal issue can be moral or immoral.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of who put the laws in place, and you vote for somebody else and they change the law, that doesn't become immoral or moral. That doesn't ever change hands. Mm-hmm. It's an absolute.
So with that line of thinking, do people have a right to expect the government to be moral, or are you saying that's when we should back off and not interject morality into it?
If we could expect them to be moral. And I think that as voters, we sure hope that they will. But
for example, I don't care if America does things a Christian way. Right. It just doesn't matter to me. I don't think we ever have. And so I don't need our politicians to make Christian
decisions.
Well,
hang on, though, but that doesn't this all get pretty tangled up pretty quickly? Like, isn't... So,
I'm tangling it up, man.
So
there's at least
a couple of things there. Number one is that there's part of the system where it seems like people would say, well, I just vote what my conscience and what I think is right and wrong. And then overall, it gets worked out because a lot of people do want to legislate what they think is morality, right? If there's different people that disagree whether or not murder is moral or immoral, you still want it to be illegal. You think it's immoral and you don't like murder, right? So that's part, and that's probably because of your Christianity too, right? So you're gonna say, "Hey, that's a whatever issue. That's somebody's moral issue."
And abortion shouldn't be a religious issue either. I think a lot of times people just equate Christianity with being pro-life, and that is certainly not the case.
Mm-hmm.
I know lots and lots of people that are agnostic or atheist that are fierce advocates for the unborn.
Mm-hmm.
And that has really opened my eyes to step back from the whole identity politics that are, if you are a Republican or if you're a Christian, you must be Republican. And if you are those two things, then you have to be pro-life. And there are people that I know that love Jesus who are pro-choice, and it is.
And you're saying, you know, now a bunch of people who are, for instance, atheists or agnostic that are also
very pro-life. Yeah. Very pro-life. Yeah.
Okay. And how do you define the terms pro-choice and pro-life? Are those the best terms, or are there other terms out there
for the sake of the argument when I'm talking? I mean, it's you know what I'm saying when I talk about being pro-life, but if I had it my way, I would explain it as being, I'm okay with the term anti-abortion, because I am. Mm-hmm. I think that pro-choicers tend to use the term anti-abortion in a negative way, but I'm happy to wave the anti-abortion flag. You know what I mean?
And just for clarification, at every single level, correct?
Yep. Well, yeah, we can get into all the even the details of that.
Yeah,
but the
for sure.
thing that strikes me about it is, at this time, with the way people are treating language and what I call weaponizing it and trying to undermine other people's language and labels and twisting what labels mean, I see a lot of push these days to try to make pro-life kind of to undermine what that means. Like a lot of the attacks of people that
I get called pro-birth a lot.
Pro-birth, yeah, that's
which
another
basically
way.
Basically is this whole argument that, okay, well, if you are so anti-abortion and you're not willing to adopt all the babies, then you're only pro-birth.
Yeah, but you don't actually care about people, you only care about babies, right?
Which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little bit of a false or a straw man thing to say, well, if you were pro-life, you would also fix all human rights. But that wouldn't, if you think that abortion is murder, then that it's just one area to work in among many.
Technically, murder is not the word that we should use, because murder is an illegal ending of someone's life, and abortion is legal.
So, it's not murder.
So abortion is not murder, technically.
Okay. It's just a legal killing.
That's right. And killing is not a law, like a law.
There's
word.
No law against killing. There's
so
law
we can
against,
use that word if we want to, but that's not an effective thing. It's sort of like if a Christian comes up to someone who's not a Christian and says, you're a sinner, you need to come to Jesus. That's not effective. I mean, if God's good, so hopefully that would be effective sometimes, but it's not effective to try and convince someone that they're killing babies, because they just don't see it that way. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've really learned the last year.
I always thought the same thing too, like when like PETA would say, meat is murder. It turned me off the way, like for a while there, I was a vegetarian just because that went away and I was actually questioning what was I doing and why was I eating. But I never could understand. I mean, I don't think of a lion going on a murdering spree or anything like that when he's trying to eat or anything like that. Now, one thing I will say, I do think there is a responsibility, if we're talking about morals and Christianity, that it shouldn't just end with the birth, though. Like, I don't like that. So many Christians will march and protest outside of an abortion clinic, but they will not continue to do anything after the child's born as much. I do think that that is a valuable thing that Christians could do. And on the opposite side of that, I don't like that y'all were talking about the terminology like pro-life. And you said you're right. I don't know. Like Christians, I don't think Christians actually are pro-life. They're just non-abortion. Like they're totally pro death penalty in a lot of, you know, or you know, killing a terrorist or something like that.
Right.
Like when we talk about pro-life, a Christian, their pro-life is pretty limited to the, you know, the womb, and then everywhere else, it's up for grabs.
What about just saying anti-abortion?
Well,
then?
And that's what gets me into, when I describe what I am, I subscribe to the pro, just the pro-life, the consistent life ethic, which means, and this is not something that I've just decided to be. It's something that it's taken a long time for me to come around to, because it's sort of like Dan had me take the test to see if I was an evangelical, because you know, you have to hit seven different points. And I am, by the way.
So you turned out evangelical according to a quiz. Okay.
Yep. And to align with a consistent life ethic, you must be against all forms of unjust killing. So unjust war, abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide,
death penalty.
Death penalty. Thank you. That's what we're talking about. And I used to be very pro death penalty, right? Mm-hmm. Until I started getting into, I don't know if you know who Brian Stevenson is. He's a really incredible justice lawyer who's made his life work to get black men off of death row that end up being innocent. And learning about how many times innocent people have been put to death, that's what changed my mind about the death penalty, because we should never have we should never just be killing people unless we know 100% sure that we... Mm-hmm. You know,
so you're saying that the consistent life ethic, you have to check all of those boxes.
Yeah. So you have to say, if you're pro-life, then you have to be pro-life. You can't say, well, I think that this baby has the right to be born.
Discretionary ending of life, and anybody using discretion to decide who's alive and who's dead is violating a pro-life stance.
It's tough, man.
Run those check boxes again, then.
Unjust war, abortion, euthanasia, assisted suicide, and death penalty. Those are like the main ones.
See, I do jump off. I think I'm probably, I'm pretty ambivalent about the death penalty. I'm fine with it if we were 100%, but if we're not, then it's fine. If we don't do it, I don't care.
Right.
But, you know, physician assisted suicide sounds obviously like a good thing to me.
Right. That's actually the main one that I still struggle a little bit with. And it's not like I am got a certificate saying I'm consistent life ethic, so I can still kind of...
Right.
That one is tough for me. I've got a friend that works in an assisted living home, and she had a conversation a few weeks ago with a woman who her husband has now died, and she's in her late 80s, and she's very uncomfortable. She's dealing with a lot of ailments, and she wants to have all of her friends have come over to her room, have a little cocktail party, and that kind of be the end of it. And, you know, it's her decision. I feel like, I mean, I don't know if I support that. The word support is tough. I don't know if I support that, but I think it's her right.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, even going to like a more extreme situation, like in a military war situation, I know there's not a lot of ground war nowadays, but you see your buddy writhing in pain and you got to get away too, and you know he's not going to survive. And he's begging, please kill me, please kill me. I just can't imagine that being a bad thing. I just can't.
I mean, it is bad. You know,
right. Well, yeah, the situation's bad. Immoral.
I don't see how that would be bad.
Sounds
at
like
all.
You just pull his head off and everything goes on all right.
I think that there's a lot of grace to cover these situations, which I'm happy about. Well, and hopefully we'll never...
The unjust or just war is a whole nother can too, right? So, I mean, but you get the thing here. So we're talking about...
So it's not just babies.
Right. So
I'm
it's
saying.
Consistent life ethic, or some other people call it whole life ethic.
Whole life ethic, yeah.
And so that's good to think through, I think, you know, obviously. But as it pertains to abortion, it's like, again, I bet there's people that uphold all of those. And I'm pretty sure there's more people that are on the fence about this than they express. I think it's one of those issues where there's a lot of conflicted people. And in fact, if you press them far enough, I think you'll find everybody, almost everybody, conflicted
somewhere
about abortion at some degree, at some point, in some way, in some circumstance. But there's just zero use of a tweet or a march or a rally that says, yeah, you know, I'm kind of in the middle here. Like, there's no calls there. There's no tweet. There's not even anything to say. Yeah. It's just like, I'm not so sure. Doesn't make a great tweet.
All right, so most of you know that Jess and I took over our shipping in the last few months, and that's for Emery and Bad Christian and the bands that work with Bad Christian and stuff. And I'll say the thing that makes it so awesome is stamps.com. Like, it literally is my favorite thing about shipping, because all postage can be handled right from your house. It's so amazing. And postage rates have gone up again. Seriously, stamps.com can keep your rates down with postage discounts up to 40%. Discounts you can't even get at the post office. I'm telling you, it's easy. I can do it. I'm 41 years old and I know nothing. I can't even write a check, but I can use stamps.com and send a letter, no problem. Seriously, stamps.com saves you 3 cents on every letter you send. That is crazy. Pay 2016 prices for 2018 stamps. That's no joke. Just use stamps.com to automatically calculate and print the correct amount of postage for every letter or package you send. And stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. Seriously, Stamps.com makes it easy. They'll send you a digital scale to automatically calculate exact postage, and Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. Anything you can do at the post office, you can now do right from your desk with Stamps.com. So I use Stamps.com because it works, and that's just the truth. I mean, it's easier, better, greatest thing that I could ever think of to use when handling all my mail. So right now, you too can enjoy Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Can you believe it? You get a free 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Bad Christian. That's Stamps.com. Enter Bad Christian.
I think it's most comfortable to, if you don't have to deal with it, just don't talk about it. That's what most Christians do, and that's what has been really tough, because the Christians that tend to talk about it really loudly mm-hmm. are the ones that are kind of shitting all over the progress.
Mm-hmm.
So the really level-headed, compassionate Christians that care about the women that are having abortions are the ones that need to speak up, and not the ones that are you know, screaming at these scared young women going into clinics and showing them.
Yeah, Ellen, as a woman, do you feel like you get more flack from the pro-choice movement than a man would, or are women more patient with you?
I tend to be a little bit chauvinist in that I think that men need a little bit more credit in this arena. I get a lot of flack, yeah, but it's easier for me to say, like, hey, I'm a woman, I have the right to
and
have
a mother
whatever,
too, by the way,
opinion. Yeah,
you have a toddler.
Yeah, she's mm-hmm. 18 months okay. old. But I hear a lot about this sort of like, if you don't have a uterus, you can't have an opinion.
Disagree.
Do you guys hear? Do you guys ever get that? Or
yeah,
have you
but
seen
I
that
could
happen?
I just could. That's the kind of that
it's
whole line.
So
of thinking.
Funny to me
yeah.
because that's like saying, okay, well then only people with uteri. I'm trying that out because I never talk about you. Should have an opinion about it.
No, I reject that, of course.
That means like only homeless people should be the ones in charge of fixing the homeless population in Seattle. And that means only people that have been sexually abused should be the ones making law. It's just, it's absurd to me.
Yeah, it is absurd.
And men who are pro-choice are celebrated. But if you are pro, you know, unborn baby, then all of a sudden you're anti-woman.
Right.
But I deal with that. I get called anti-woman.
Well,
more than,
yeah, that's just, that's all fine. But I mean, there, you know, somebody would have to really work with me on the, like, I understand that. I mean, let's try to get at the subtleties of where people get off the boat and see, and maybe we'll see where the four of us are on what we think is right and wrong. But for sure, I take it very seriously, the notion that I create, am able to and have created and can create children and things that are alive and things that multiply and survive and grow from a fetus, from a single cell.
Just
to
last
fetus.
Night, my husband said, your egg and my mm-hmm. sperm from my testicles made someone who's eating pizza right now.
Right, right.
Which I thought.
Right, I mean, I mean, that baby, I know where
that was
it,
beautiful, Ellen.
I know it's in somebody else's uterus. I know that's where its location is, but it's half me. It's half mine. I made it too. And I just don't, it's like, that's one of those things where it's not like, I don't even think you can logically explain it to me another way. I'm pretty immovable on the fact of like, I've been through the thing of having kids. I've had a miscarriage, and those damn children are mine too.
Yep.
That I couldn't feel more strongly about that.
You don't have
that.
Any rights to them.
I just can't. I wouldn't. I couldn't even begin
it's
to.
It's not your body.
Yeah, exactly. That's just an extremely strong feeling that I have. That maybe I don't know. Maybe it's that people. I'm just unwilling to really move on that at all. Is basically the way.
Well,
it feels.
I'm thankful that you're not.
I think the biggest change that I've encountered with my outlook is I understand some Christian perspectives that are different from mine, such as maybe life begins at consciousness, or maybe life begins at a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Just because I know some very smart Christian scientists and people that really do study and
heed God's word as well, and they don't see it as black and white as I see.
Well, let's find
those,
some of those lines. Does it do? What are the common lines that people say? Well, I agree, but I don't count that, or I do after 6 weeks.
Right. Yeah, those are the two big ones. Is consciousness? Can you really have life without consciousness? Which I think you can, but I understand their point of view. I used to always see anyone that's preached.
When does consciousness enter into it, though? Let's define that. When do you have that?
I guess when you're aware of sounds, when you're...
When is that?
I don't know.
How do they...
I have no idea.
Right, exactly.
I'm not the scientist.
Okay, well then that's not a good argument unless somebody's going to tell you when they think. I mean, it's an irrelevant argument, not a bad... It's a good argument
that's
irrelevant
idea.
If you can't define when consciousness occurs, though.
I think they can. I don't know. I don't keep notes of this stuff.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
Joey's not a scientist.
Yeah, okay, so you're saying they have a line of they say when... I mean, is it before you're born? Is it 38 weeks
like
or what?
That cellular level, right? Like the really, I mean, like the day after if the egg has been inseminated, is that a baby?
Some people talk about implantation being a borderline, right? Like if it's fertilized but it's not even implanted yet.
Well, that's like saying you're a person. If we're just not giving you food, you're still a person,
mm-hmm.
Right?
So ultimately, even if you can pick and choose where you think life starts, but it begins.
But almost nobody thinks it's 39 weeks and 39
right.
and a half
I
weeks.
Mean, but if
almost
you,
nobody.
Anytime you end.
If you could use a zygote to save the life of my 5-year-old, that would be hard for me to turn that down. Like if there was some way of using a brand new organism of a sperm and an egg,
right.
And I don't know what that situation would be or even if it even exists, but if that could keep my 5-year-old son alive, I think I would just have to be like, yeah.
And
I'm
you know why
it.
That is? It's because we're people with connections, and we see, like, obviously to us as humans, we see a 5-year-old kid
right.
as having more worth and value.
Right.
Period. Science doesn't, but we do. So that's why that argument about, like, okay, you're in a burning fertility clinic and you can save the 5-year-old kid or the tube full of, you know, 1,000
embryos,
whatever embryos. What do you take? Yeah. And that argument gets used and debunked, by the way. Because it's so silly to argue against pro-lifers. But what I say to that is
you got to debunk it for us then.
Well, it's like saying, actually, I shouldn't have said that because now I don't remember the really good argument about it. Let's just cut that out. But as humans, I would also choose the 5-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And
well,
I'm
anybody
very pro-life because, well, unless it's someone else's kid, that's different.
You would still save somebody else's kid
yes.
before embryos.
Because we're human, we have a connection to a face and a body and someone who communicates with us, period.
Right, and you also would say, I'll see if I can debunk it a little bit, but you also would save your wife over 4 strangers,
right.
too. So it's that doesn't mean you don't think those strangers
there
are
you
it's,
go.
It's
that's,
bad or they it's
it.
Okay that they died. It's
right.
just what you would do. That doesn't mean that you think those 4 strangers that you didn't save weren't
right.
lives. It has nothing to do with whether or not you thought they were alive.
And I just grab both. I don't know
no,
why
you
that
can, no,
isn't a problem.
That's not allowed in hypotheticals.
I just want to grab both.
Yeah, sorry, Ellen, you can't do that. I mean,
not allowed.
I could never debate these things.
And so we're definitely talking about human life because, like, I think a lot of people would even go into the territory of saying, you know, well, what about a plant or a zygote? But the sanctity of life that we're talking about is human life. But I don't feel bad about that human connection of, no, I'm going to save the kid that's screaming, saying, help me. That's who I'm going to get. And
of
all
course,
of the,
right.
all the unconscious cells,
everyone would.
Not going to do it.
Everyone would.
But that doesn't mean they have no value. I mean, you know, you had to put a weight on it. That's my point is, you know, everybody's to put a weight on it somewhere. I mean, it's fine to say I'm fine with the morning after pill, but I'm not fine with a 10-week abortion. That's a fine position and a reasonable one.
And at least you should have a position.
Yeah.
It bothers me when people don't have a position. And I was today I was looking at the list of all the states and the different laws and the last few years, I've shifted my politics a lot. I used to think that states should be able to make their own laws based on, you know, ABC. But looking at how different the state laws are with abortion, it's shocking to me that you can be in Washington and be, you know, X weeks far along, cross over the border a few feet, and the legality is different. And what we're saying is, no, based on where you live, life has different worth and values, which is not an absolute thing, and that really bothers me. I don't know what the answer is, but it really bothers me.
Well, you have to acknowledge on some level that we just individual human is just completely incapable of making the actual calculations involved or having values that are any kind of consistent. And we know you know that from looking at overseas tragedies that don't matter to you, but the one down the street that's not even that bad really affects you, and who you don't save every day, like who you don't save in other countries from starvation every day is your choice that you choose not to of living, you know, and you're, it's easy. I mean, there's obviously, there's no way to engage full human empathy on all living things or all living humans. It's not mathematically or processing.
That's what I say, possible. Like that argument about like, well, if you're not going to, if you're anti-abortion, then you have to adopt all the kids.
Right.
Which doesn't hold up because if you're anti, you know, the war in Syria, that doesn't mean you have to take in all of those refugees. That's not your, you can be against it.
Alan, how uncomfortable would you be with imagining, do you have a boy or a girl?
A girl.
So, and this is...
Her name's Phoebe, if you want to make it really realistic.
Not. I'm not trying to put you in a corner because I agree with almost everything you're saying, but just to let it hit home... Like, how uneasy would you be if at 15 she was taken advantage of sexually, and you know you guys were pretty much on the same page, being pro-life, but she said, "Mom, I understand our values, but I just don't think I'm strong enough to do this. Not after my body being taken advantage of. I got to close the chapter on this nightmare. I cannot bring this child into the world." Even disagreeing with your daughter. Would you be able to rest easy at night making the decision to abort the baby?
No, because I wouldn't. I mean, first of all, if she's 15, it's not her decision to make.
Yeah.
And
but she could do it secretly, right? Or am I?
She could do it. I don't remember in Washington State. Certain states they have the parents have to consent. In some states they have to consent and or just be notified. But ultimately, I have a friend who is a product of rape, and he is like this charismatic, brilliant guy, and him and his mom have a fantastic relationship, and he's so thankful. And he brought her so much joy, and I think that we, socially, we choose to put that on a person. Like, rape is what went wrong there.
Yeah.
The life that comes out of that is not what went wrong. So the victim should not. Now, when I say victim, obviously, I want to separate like what happens after rape to a woman and psychologically and the trauma and all of that. But that unborn baby should not have to suffer the consequences of rape.
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't put that on a baby.
Yeah. I mean, there's problems.
Are you more, I'm looking for the word, are you more understanding of that point of view as opposed to a 15-year-old girl that just says, no, I want to go to college and have a regular life.
Yeah. Right. Sure.
You do see it as.
Yeah. I mean, I would hope that we would have the type of relationship that we would just talk about it a lot. And
that's a decent exercise, too, to get at, because in truth, even if it did happen, even if she was 19, whatever it was, here's a deeper question. What would you be prepared to do to stop your 19-year-old daughter from going through with an abortion?
Well, I mean.
Do you know what I mean? Like.
Yeah. I probably just wouldn't drive her to the clinic.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Everybody, most reasonable people, and some Christians are not this way, but everybody
block her
here
in the house or anything.
Yeah. You wouldn't say, well, I will stop you no matter what, or I will block you, or I won't talk to you again, or I will hold this over your head. No.
No.
You know, for your own daughter, you would accept, would be okay with it in a way.
I wouldn't be okay and with it. I would be devastated.
You would become okay with it in a general way that would not prolong, make you always hold it against your daughter.
Right.
You would deal with it. You would accept it.
And you know what? Because I know that later on in her life, she will deal with it.
Okay.
She will have be.
Okay.
I don't need to.
But let's carry this thought experiment a little farther. Okay. If your 21-year-old daughter killed her 2-year-old because she did not want it, you would do anything to stop that, and you would never get over it or accept that, correct?
Right. Well, that would be illegal.
Okay. But that's not why it would bother you.
Right.
Okay. So
it would equally bother me. One is more violent.
Mm-hmm. But I think for most people, you'd have to admit there's a giant gulf. And if somebody ended a 20-week pregnancy or their one-year-old child's life, and I'm talking about people who are pro-life here, they would think one is, well, I really disagree with that personally. And I don't like it, but I will still accept you. And the other one, you go, I will never accept that you killed your one-year-old. That is completely unacceptable. Right. I would get them taken away from you. I would physically fight you. And I probably would never forgive you for stabbing my grandchild. Mm-hmm. And those, so that right there proves that the abortion thing and just a murder of a born child are completely different universes.
Completely.
And so everybody on both sides needs to admit.
Well, they didn't used to be. I mean, before, when it was illegal, that was the same.
But regardless of the law, you know that's different. Everybody feels differently about those two scenarios.
I feel emotionally different about it, but scientifically, I feel the same about it. I would, of course, be more emotionally connected to my grandchild because there's a relationship there.
Right.
I don't know the zygote, you know.
Well, I'm anti-abortion basically as you can get in a general way. I think it trumps the other cause, which I very much understand. Mm-hmm. The women's body issue is huge and it matters and I care about it and I get it. I just think the other one outweighs it and we have to look at them both and they are in conflict is the point.
Right.
The two views are both important. They're both valuable and they're both right and it's in conflict. And that's built into the fabric of reality.
Like you said in the beginning that there's been no progress made.
Right.
And I think I can boil it down to, why I think there's no progress being made is because of Christians have screwed everything up for the pro-life agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, making an agenda is so what diminishes the other side so bad. It drives me crazy.
They've made it a faith issue and it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pro-choice side assumes that if you are pro-unborn baby, you are anti-woman. And that is a very frustrating thing. It's like saying, you know when people say Black Lives Matter and someone immediately comes out with all lives matter.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, yeah, but the whole point is Black Lives Matter and we need to focus on them right now because when Black Lives Matter, all lives will matter.
Right.
To me, it's the same argument of if I say unborn lives matter and you were to say, no, but women's lives matter. It's like, right, exactly, right. But unborn babies need to start to matter.
Yeah.
So that's the very, very frustrating argument that just never goes away, I feel like.
But I still feel it important to try to get people to understand the other side. That, like, I just don't understand why people don't spend more time admitting that, yes, I'm on this side, but I actually see your point of view, and I'm actually okay with your point of view. I just don't agree, but there's somewhere where we do agree.
Well, if you're truly pro-life, it should grieve you a little bit.
It can grieve you a little bit, but I'm just saying I totally get it that people are pro-choice.
And that's
I don't
why
think
I say
that's
Christians
stupid.
Have screwed everything up because we need to learn more about who these women are. Why they feel they need abortion. I feel like women deserve better than abortion. And a lot of women feel that that is the only decision that they have to make. And as a country of, you know, X million amount of women, we need to do better.
Mm-hmm.
While we're talking here, I was just looking up some stats and stuff like this. Now, one good thing is abortions overall have been going down. Like the rate of abortions has been getting less, but it lists here.
I'd like to point out under a Democratic president, it has been going down.
Yep. And it lists the reasons, percentages why, like top percentages of why women have abortions. 21%, the biggest one is inadequate finances. Also at 21% is not ready for the responsibility. At 16%, a woman's life would be changed too much. 12% would be problems with relationships, 11% too young or immature, 8% children are grown and she has all she wants, doesn't want another kid, you know, maybe an older mom. 3% baby has possible health care problems, which we know, you know, like Down syndrome is kind of being eradicated. And then 1% or less is caused by rape or incest. So rape or incest isn't the one we should go after. Like, you know, like that very first one, 21% of women that have abortions feel like they have inadequate finances.
Right. That's exactly.
Like they do not have.
Right.
They, go ahead.
Oh, I love that argument. I've used that before about if you were.
So do a lot of people with 2 year
argument, olds. If you're going to argue anything, it's best not to use a 1% of anything
right.
to argue oh,
right,
your point.
Right. Yeah. Yes. And so that, so right there. So part of me thinks like when we're talking about making this a moral issue or like you said, or like a faith issue, I do think we miss the point because there is a woman out there right now, women, many, many women who feel completely inadequate to have the kid that is growing inside of them right now. And so they are making a decision. And part of that decision might be they think it's morally right not to bring a kid up in that.
Or they can make a good argument for that.
That. Right. So to attack a lady like that, who's obviously is concerned about the actual real world, I think really pushes them away. And the fear I have is how do we? I'll even go to this level. I feel like I am definitely pro-life. I just am. I think that one of the most things that makes a woman in this world is that she can have a baby. It's something so unique and to me so feminine. And I'm just talking about me and my ideas, and I might be wrong about this. But to me, like, it's just so phenomenally amazing, and that none of us would be here without women, and that like none of us, like, we wouldn't be able to have this conversation without that womb and the way that the woman's body was created and made, and all these things are just magnificent. Just
and there would be no abortion without men.
Right. Yes. Yes. And so, but just the idea of just even scientifically, or if you want to put God there, whatever that is, it's so uniquely feminine to me. It's just amazing. But the idea too here is the reason why we keep, I think this doesn't go away is because I don't know if people care. People are dying right now, and I don't think anybody really cares. Like your circle is only so big. So there's people within obviously 50 miles of each of us that are dying. Whatever might be happening, might be being murdered, might be all this stuff. And I don't know if we care. So the truth is, I don't know, how do we change it from the issue of abortion to this is a real person? You know what I mean?
It's
in the womb.
It's like a heart issue. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's what gets like, for example, we're all, everybody's like freaking out right now, obviously about guns and gun control. And everybody, I can't believe more people died and it's so bad. But like, do you realize just in like Chicago, South Chicago, like 300 people have been shot. 60 have been shot and killed.
Oh, that's like, their own fault. You know, that's what people think.
That's just January and February. Yeah. And that's in Chicago. And nobody, I don't see the outrage and all the, I mean, you could lump that in there, but I'm just saying we get caught up in the issue as opposed to the person. You know what I mean? And that's why
I
think
reason for
abortion
is
so tough.
Yeah. Right.
Well, it's a moral indignancy, and it has to do with the indignation, I suppose, because this is very disturbing. I don't know anything about stats on it, but there's a very obvious stereotype that everybody's familiar with, and it's a stereotype for a reason, so the stats don't matter to me a ton. But it's the one where the anti-abortion people quietly still get an abortion when it's actually them in the tough spot and their teenagers.
I was there once. I was very close. I thought I was sleeping with a worship pastor at my church.
Yes, this is the stereotype I'm talking about. I didn't know you had the experience,
and
but tell us about
that. I was taking pregnancy tests in the church office, and it was just like, I can't believe this is happening. And I was very immature then. I wasn't like tracking my cycles, didn't know anything about fertility. I thought that you could have sex and then the next day be pregnant, which you can if you we could get into this. I didn't know the science behind it. And I was just...
How old were you?
I was 21.
Okay.
And I had decided, well, I'll just have an abortion. It just seemed like the easiest... I don't want to call it a way out because for so many women, it's not as easy as that. But for me, it would have just ruined me. And it would have just, and the whole idea of being pregnant was scary and big. And then giving birth is really scary. And once I got pregnant, I realized, oh, now I know why some people, there has to be a percentage on that pie chart for people who have abortions because pregnancy sucks so bad in the beginning.
Right.
But
But see, that demonstrates the thing. Like, you're just not capable as a human of being really, well, I guess in the big picture, we're not capable of not being hypocritical. Right? That's a human feature, hypocrisy.
And the only reason we're ever going to get anywhere with this debate is if you have the humility to sit down and listen to someone who disagrees with you. I've changed my mind a lot about how I feel about abortion based on, I mean, I still think it's a science issue, but now I understand how to approach it and the reason why women are getting a lot of abortions and not just saying like, it's wrong.
Right. But because that doesn't do anything. We know that about every other Christian issue. Like, okay, let's go through a few right now. Can you think of something that you know is wrong that you are also sure that before you die, you will do again? Just go, like, a thing that you think is immoral or wrong or a sin, lying, getting super drunk
is mine. Whatever.
I mean, there's a million, like, gossiping, losing your temper at somebody, overeating.
Pornography.
Looking at pornography. These things are wrong. I'm against it. I'll hold the sign. I'm going to do all those again. Right? So that,
Joey can't wait to do them.
I would never sign a piece of paper saying right. I will never commit any of those because I have stated that they are wrong.
And we're playing God by using the you're sinning or you know.
But those things are just that's what I'm saying. A person's individual decisions are basically separate from a list of morals that they claim or understand or believe or know. It's not possible to live out. Even if you could list out your entire ethic, now I'm just trying to live up to it. Okay, well, nobody can do that. That's kind of the whole point of Christianity.
And let me even play devil's advocate here. Here's why it gets so tricky, and it really is complicated. It's not as simple as, oh, man, here's a lady. She's just sleeping around, and here's another abortion. I'm sure that might even happen just on the scale of people, you know. But I would say most people, unintended, get pregnant and try to figure it out from that point and whatever that leads to from there. But just like our the guy was really nice, James DeYoung, that was on, he says there's an age of accountability. So you could even say every time all those babies that are aborted are all in heaven, right?
That's a good
thing. He says they all go to heaven. Yep.
I'm really glad I wasn't on that episode.
And the idea there, though,
same thing,
I mean,
you kill
literally,
a 2-year-old, by the way.
If you could take this, well, the hard stance of it's moral. And you're sending that person to the greatest place ever. They don't have to go through this shit.
And just in fairness to him, the point he was making is that there's going to be way more people in heaven. He wasn't saying we should abort more.
No, he was not. And he's a sweet guy.
You could extrapolate that logic. I mean, the more babies you kill, the less people go to hell then, right? Is that not true?
I definitely, you guys know how I used to obsess about hell and eternal torment. And I used to think, at least they're going to heaven.
So, Joey, let's take that to the next level. So, if you killed every baby...
I'm scared to with Alan on the line.
If you killed every baby that was ever born...
Just let loose, Joey.
Nobody else could ever go to hell, right? As long as we kill every child, then we can prevent anybody from going to hell.
How do we know that... this is ridiculous.
I mean, that's why...
No, but that's
what
I'm
saying.
Nuke
the whole world and
we
don't have to worry about anybody going to hell.
That's why if we keep it in that faith moral stance only, then it can get really foggy and really murky really quickly because you could say, well, at least they're in heaven and let it go and not care one way or the other. Or you could say, well, you know, the issue I think is based in morals and what we think is right. And also, like you said, Ellen, it is scientific as well. Like, I think it's very fair and valid to use both of those and listen to both sides, I think.
Science points to a beginning.
Yes.
Period.
Right.
And I think that we have to, you have to start from someplace. I mean, with your argue with where you land on this issue, you have to start somewhere. You have to pick a point. And it's, to me, logically, it makes the most sense to start where science says that something has begun.
Which is where?
With a new DNA set.
Mm-hmm.
You are intrinsically, you are a separate entity.
Once the first DNA up together.
During this conversation, I did do some research, and we should do our research beforehand, by the way. But as we were talking, because I've heard the argument of, well, it's just a cell, just like, you know, a cell of your finger or in your liver or something, but it's...
I mean,
it's
we're all cells. I'm a blob of cells right now.
Right, but a zygote is a very unique, autonomous...
Has
cell
its own DNA.
That is different from everything else.
It has its own "quote unquote" body, if you will, which is why, as when I was pregnant, something that was really intense for me was this idea that it's, you know, people say it's my body, it's my right, but what about Phoebe's body was in there and Phoebe's uterus, and women are born with all the eggs they'll ever had, so my grandbabies were in my belly.
Yeah,
where was her rights? Where were her so? what came over me was this really intense responsibility for another woman and another woman's rights. Mm-hmm. And it was my job to hold her and protect her. And, you know, people always say like, well, what about the women? You know, it's not easy to make a decision to have an abortion and all this. And it's not, it's devastating and it's hard, but there's nothing in the Constitution says that life is supposed to be like super easy and mm-hmm. painless. And
so overall to me, this thing's like we started out saying it was a political issue. It's a legal issue. It's a hard, we said it's a hard issue, which is probably closer. But we said it's a moral issue even. But I'm going to say I'm kind of arriving during this conversation at saying it's not even a moral issue because, again, you can list out your morals, but you don't really hold them. Nobody really holds right. them anyway. So it's not. It's really just an individual human issue. Well, and if you push anybody's buttons, you'll find
it should be a science issue, period. I mean, because regardless of how everybody feels about it, science only points to one thing ever. Science always stays the same. And once we learn more about it, we can change our laws and our feelings.
But even in science, there's ambiguity, of course. But so here's what would be the logical error. So I don't think it's necessarily clear where life begins scientifically. Even scientifically, that's not provable.
I disagree.
Well, you're going to be resting on another subset of definitions okay. if you say life is the first DNA. I mean, it can be argued. Right. Scientifically, right, it can right, be right. argued. So what I'm saying is that the point of it really is that, let's see if this makes sense. Just because it's ambiguous or not settled, you said we need to start somewhere. So even if you say, well, I think that's 3.5 weeks and that's the best overall average guess and it could be different. Like if you arrive at somewhere, then you could start to take that into account. But you should make yourself interpret the science as best you can to make your determination. And then you can shift it and then you can move it. And you can say, you know what? Actually, I'm at conception. I know I'm at 20 weeks now. There is real data that is scientific mm-hmm. to be interpreted and discussed. What's not okay is to say, well, since it's ambiguous or since we're not certain or because it's not settled or because there's different vantage points, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Or it can't be arrived
at. To me, it's sort of like global warming. It's like,
yeah, throw your hands up.
It's, well, what it's are you gonna kind do? Of a real thing mm-hmm. and you can choose to not participate in the discussion or you can be aware of it and learn some things about it and then really come to this is how I feel about it because I have the facts. Mm-hmm. And as adults, I just don't know on an issue as huge and as meaningful as abortion. It blows my mind that adults don't want to do the research.
Yeah. So, but that's what I would think you'd need to push it all the way down to the individual level, which is always what I believe is usually the best way to handle things. I'm not into the legislation. I don't care if it's legal or not. I do not care. And I don't want it to be a political, ideological thing
either.
Well,
in our lifetime, we've never grown up with abortion all being illegal. Right. We've never known that.
Nor did the abortion rate change when it became legal right. or illegal. When it got right. legalized, it didn't even increase.
So when Roe v. Wade was passed, there was 7 votes for and 2 against. And the against was 1 Democrat, 1 Republican. And 4, the 7 that voted for it, 3 of those were Republicans and 4 of them were Democrats. And they were all old white men. And so the idea that old white men shouldn't have any jurisdiction over women's bodies is bullshit because they were the ones that gave
it to
right.
them.
The so rights. So I think that argument is bullshit as well.
Yeah.
But so the Republican-Democrat thing is it just goes to show that a two-party system is garbage when it comes to deciding, you know, pro-life issues and yeah. I don't think anybody should be.
Even whether or not it's legal seems not to affect the abortion rate very much because this is just like drugs. Like, okay, they're illegal. Okay, well, still we all do them. It's whatever. I mean, still
it's
do
not
going to
change. And I'm a realist, so I don't think it's going to change. But also, I think that we should
it's like a prohibition, really. I mean, if it was legal, it's just
if we could get to a point where we're less hot about it. And science was a little bit more embraced, like it is with global warming, and people could understand where, you know, what babies are and mm-hmm. what fetuses are. I would be comfortable saying, like, can we just get to the point where we're only having abortions that are putting the mother's life at risk? Because mm-hmm. that percentage is very, very, very
small.
It'd
be a directional improvement.
So if 21% of women, for example, are getting abortions because they don't feel financially stable, that's a completely different issue. If that means that 21% of abortions wouldn't happen if we figured out the like Medicaid, that's a pro-life thing to do. Mm-hmm, you know, yeah. It's not just stopping those abortions. It's about looking at those stats. I mean, how easy was that to just pull up and it looked really clean and easy to understand?
Yeah.
That's how we know where to go. We need to figure out the reasons women are getting abortions and help them where they're at instead of shaming them and making it impossible for them to have what they think is the right thing.
Yeah, well, it's certainly a huge issue. And like I said at the beginning, I don't think it's going to get solved. Not by arguing with each other and presenting the points. Hopefully that impacts individuals and individuals make good decisions for however that works out. The only way we'll get out of this is innovation, in my opinion.
Right.
I think it's the same with guns.
And unnecessary to have abortions.
Right. It's not about tell people not to do it. There's probably a future in which, I suppose you just say birth control technology. What if you had to go down and get your something turned on or off that was simpler than something we hadn't thought of yet that's not bad and doesn't have the side effects?
I think men should have that.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
You guys are the ones that are fertile 100% of the time.
Right, so maybe we can have a biological innovation that'll just be like, yeah, you have to go down to the doctor's office and get your tubes opened before you ever start being able to have it. And that'll just solve it and it won't be an issue anymore.
Well, birth control was created to give women more freedom, and socially we've come to a point where men expect women to be on birth control,
right.
And that has just given men more freedom. Mm-hmm. So the responsibility now lies on women to be on birth control, and if they do get pregnant, then it's their fault. It's not the man's fault. And the men,
yep, that's an issue.
You know,
it's real.
I'm very pro woman, but I'm very pro like men being a part of the conversation. But you guys are the problem.
Well, that's certainly true.
I mean, in every aspect of it, I think.
Yeah, and that's worth pushing back
against. I wish I could turn Joey's wiener off. If I could turn Joey's wiener off, I would. But that's what's funny is you solve one problem, you'll create another. You watch how human population declines when that technology comes.
Yep.
You just wait. It will be shocking how many people.
I hope Jesus comes back before.
Let me go the other side of that, though, Toby. The other side of that is
less people will still be born.
Yeah, but how about the other side of that when we're in an absolute famine because of overpopulation? Do you think people's abortion stances, and there's people just breeding unbelievable in everywhere, do you think people soften their stances on abortion? Yes, they will. Yes, they will. I promise you they will. So either, you know. That's what I'm saying. You're flexible and you're a hypocrite. I don't care who you are. If you're hearing my voice, you're a hypocrite, probably on this issue. There's circumstances where whatever you say, you would do the opposite. So that's the way to think, one way to think about it. But Ellen, thank you for joining us today.
It's
been fun having you in the studio.
It's been awesome.
Very informative.
All right. Well, what else is going on, guys? BC Club, Matt and Toby Tour, the movie. How about that movie? Anybody been checking that out? I think we're almost all the way to goal on the film that we're going to make. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, we're going to make a documentary about the Christian music industry. And I don't think it's going to be the biggest expose in the world, and we're not trying to point out villains or anything like that, but it's a damn interesting universe that we've been a part of and heard a bunch of stories and understand the disconnect between the industry and the artist and the consumers and then the mainstream public. It's a bunch of really fun and interesting layers and a lot to be explored there, but the film's going to be called What Would Jesus Sell? And you can go to wwjs.film and help us, kick in the price of, going to a movie or two, and that'll help us make this film. But it looks like it's going well, and we've got I've been hit by so many artists that I wasn't even thinking of. They're like, dude, I want to participate. I've got stories. I got stuff I want to say. So now that it's out there, I'm kind of excited about that.
Very cool, and yes, we do have some new BC Club members. I'll call them out real quick. Nicole Studebaker, Michael Ortiz Jr., Christopher Matthew Pawlowski, Kyle Bradley Klimakin, Chase McBee, Travis Gray, Ashton and Kelly Ruby, Sue Drayton, Jessica Huber, and Jacob Hill. Thank you, guys. If anybody's interested in finding more out about the BC Club, you can even write me at joeysvensonbc@gmail, or you can just go to the BC Club, read about the perks, the main ones, extra podcast episode, and access to a pretty cool community. So, yeah. And hey, real quick, we're starting to do some more experimenting with I don't even know if it's going to be called BC House Church, but there's going to be one kicking off in Seattle and in Tampa soon.
And we'll be talking about it a lot more on the Pastor With No Answers podcast. So if you're in those areas and you're interested, reach out and we'll point you in the right direction.
That sounds good. Let me leave you all with one extra thing. And King's Kaleidoscope's going on tour soon, and our audience cares a ton, and we work with them still and do stuff. So I'm going to let you go out here with a little commercial for the King's Kaleidoscope tour, because they've got a good one coming up, and you definitely don't want to miss it. All right, see y'all very soon.
See ya.
Hey, this is Chad from King's Kaleidoscope, and we are coming to the East Coast with our good friend Propaganda this spring. Tickets are on sale now for Orlando, Atlanta, Charlotte, Philly, Washington, D.C., and New York City. Just tap this ad or head to kingskaleidoscope.com to get your tickets before they're gone. I really hope to see you all there. Peace.
You've been listening to the Jabberjaw Podcast Network, jabberjawmedia.com.